Morning, friends. I started this podcast to learn from people who know way more than me and document my journey in becoming an online content creator. If you love learning about filmmaking, marketing, or entrepreneurship, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Videographer's Digest. Hey everyone, Tim here with Max Balter,
a
Ukrainian film director and probably the most talented person I've ever had on this show so far.
Oh, thank you.
I apologize to everyone else, but I mean, your credentials are absolutely astonishing. You've directed multiple music videos that hit over a million views on YouTube.
Each one of those.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, not all together.
So, yeah, I think in common it's going to be like more than 50 million so views for all my videos. Music videos, yeah.
Dear God. Oh, that's even more impressive than what I have written. You directed short films that have been official selections of the Cannes Film Festival, which, for those of you that don't know, is the biggest film festival in the entire world. So that's absolutely astounding. And you've won over 30 well-known film festivals all around the world.
Yeah, yeah.
If you look at your director's reel, I think, or show reel, even the first thumbnail has all the awards that you've won, which are not fake. Those are all real awards and real festivals that you've won. We'll share links to his work and everything else at the end, of course. But what really intrigued me about Max was your story. So you were born and raised in Ukraine. But when the war broke out in February of 2022, you were unable to come back to your country. You were out of the country for film reasons and travel and vacation. And you were...
Yeah, I was traveling in Asia. And like I had tickets back home like on 28th of February, but 24th of February war starts. So I just wasn't able to come back. Like all flights was canceled and all my friends and relatives told me that I should like wait a couple of days or weeks and then probably come back. Yeah, now almost a year passed and here am I in Lay.
Yeah, because you essentially just, you moved to Miami first, right? From...
Yeah. After war starts, I spent like maybe 6 or 7 more weeks on Sri Lanka in Asia. I focused mostly on volunteering to help our army. We produced a lot of armor vests. We like bought and bring a lot of like cars, a lot of special equipment for army forces, like... I don't know how was it called in English, but they're like helped them a lot. And then I decided that I need to move somewhere because I need to like earn money. And I made a SWOT table, you know, I put the name of the countries. Pluses, minuses, and decided that, okay, I should like try United States. And friend of mine, he was like living in Miami. And, I know him from childhood, maybe from like my 30 years. So yeah. It's, like, almost for 20 years. And he was there with family. He was he arrived there just in a couple months before the 2022. So, yeah, and he told me, like, man, come here, like, stay at my place, like, and then we will figure out what to do. Because, like, you shouldn't go to Europe. It's a little bit crowded. And I totally agree with him, yeah, because I have a lot of friends from film industry who moved to Poland, who moved to Germany, to United Kingdom, like whatever. Yeah, and it's like, it's feel really busy there now.
No, that makes sense, of course. And it sounds like you just had to reach out to any connection you had to get out and figure out how to keep doing what you wanted to do in the film industry while also making a living. And so you had to move to a whole new country, which eventually landed you here in Los Angeles. And
where else?
Right, exactly.
It's a capital of film industry, no?
Right, no, it is. This is why I moved here, to meet people in the industry, in the space where the most people are most likely to be. But it sounds like you're here now, but you're starting essentially from square one. So you're highly accredited. You've got so much experience.
It's a really interesting experience because, yeah, I lived, like, born and raised in Ukraine, lived there for all my life. I built my own production company there and, like, was pretty successful guy, you know?
Yeah, that's an understatement.
Yeah, and, like, when I arrived to United States, like, I knew, like, literally, like, I don't know, 5 person here, maybe less. And no one from those was from film industry, so I was, like, literally starting from the scratch. But it was all my experience, you know, with portfolio. But It worth something, but not a lot when you don't know people. Because if you're like super smart, talented, I don't know, like hardworking guy, and no one knows about you, you're staying without the job.
Right.
Yeah. So I arrived to Miami and was hardly thinking, should I like stay in industry or should I move to IT sphere? I had like a bunch of experience in IT, or maybe I should just find like regular job, like, you know, to be able to pay my bills. And it was kind of hard decision. Also, I was doing a lot of volunteering stuff in the beginning when I arrived, like, in the United States. But the time difference, like, was made it hard for me. So I decided, like, to pass all my tasks to my friends, like, back home in Ukraine, like, in a volunteering sphere, and focus, like, on industry. So I decided, like, to give myself, like, 2-3 months to look for projects, to find out what's happening around. Yeah, and then, like, decide what to do. Actually, like, I arrived with a tight budget because I arrived from vacation, you know, and I never planned to move to other country, like someone planning it like for a couple of years, you
right
know? And all my stuff stayed back home in Ukraine. So actually I arrived with like small bag of clothes, like I was backpacking
right
Asia, like to be able to ride motorcycle like around to be like really like
mobile and
yeah.
When you said you started volunteering, what you said was that in the filmmaking industry or just volunteering in general?
No, it was volunteering for Ukrainian army.
Okay.
Yeah. Because like a lot of my friends, they decide to go to protect our country and they need a lot of supplies.
Yeah.
Because our government wasn't ready to provide everything that like was needed.
Yeah.
So, and I'm like experienced producer. I decide like, actually, it was really a fun conversation with my friends. I was speaking like, probably I should go back home, like to Ukraine, to help country, to help like everyone. And they're like, okay, what do you want to do? Like, well, when you come back, are you ready to go on a war? Are you ready to kill people? And I'm like, oh no, sorry guys, I'm just different.
Right, I'm a person. I'm a filmmaker. I'm sorry.
And they're like, okay, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I can volunteering, I can do like I can make any tasks happen because like, I'm producer, like
right.
And they're like, okay, just imagine where it's more comfortable for you to volunteer, like somewhere near ocean or in your mother's basement. And I'm like, oh, I got a point. So probably I should wait and stay somewhere else, like to be able to do what I can do, like.
But were you successful in using your producer skills as a source?
Yeah, actually, it was very complicated, but interesting experience. Yeah, because like we're starting to produce armor vests.
Right.
I didn't know anything like about armor vests before, but like, you know, when you need to do something in the film industry, you're just finding like the guys who knows and just managing the processes. So you like, and
you always find a way.
Yeah, and we bought like, I don't know, 50 tons of like special metal.
Holy cow.
Yeah, then found a couple of manufacturers that can make this metal better, you know, like with special, I don't know this words. When you heat metal or when you're like...
Like an alloy almost? Or like a mixer?
Yeah, when you're like improving metal to...
Make it stronger.
Make it stronger, yeah. So we made a lot of different tests with different components. And like, it's like armor vest. It's not a joke. So we made a lot of like tests. We're just shooting this like panels, like armor vest panels.
Yeah,
and like... And then when we like was able to reach the level that we needed, we started to produce it and like deliver them for free for like our
like soldiers and
soldiers, for our like defense groups, for like there wasn't like the best armor vests
of course
in the world,
yeah,
but it was like way better than nothing, you know. And we was happy to give them for free because like to protect our people, you know.
Yeah,
because like mostly like injuries are not from bullets, they're from like pieces of
shrapnel and things flying around.
And our vests helps them from this stuff for 100%. So we was like, yeah, so we started to producing this like metal panels and also thewing vests. Yeah, and it was like crazy. It's like 24/7.
Holy cow. I was going to ask, do you think you would have been able to successfully take on that project if you didn't have producing in a filmmaking sense experience?
You know, like I was working always in an organization. Mm-hmm. Even like one of my higher degrees is management of organization.
Yeah.
So probably if you know how to make things happen, mm-hmm. you know, how to like connect people, how to write briefs, how to let them know what you exactly need from them, like to schedule timing, to
right.
like, yeah, it's, I think it's very useful skill.
One belief that I have a lot is when you learn how to do something, even if you don't end up pursuing that specific task or industry, that those skills can help you in other industries.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I think if you're like successfully work in the field of video industry, you could work like everywhere, you know, because it's like some kind of super crazy intention stuff, you know,
yeah.
in film industry, because you're doing like a lot of stuff with like high budgets in short like time terms, mm-hmm. and you need to be focused, you need to like trust people with whom you're working,
yeah,
you know, because there are a lot of like communication. So I think communication is a key.
Yeah, and it feels like you're always just kind of sprinting. You said really intense industry, which I agree with, but it's also like high level problem solving too. It's like yeah. if something's stopping you on set, you just have to find a way to keep yeah. shooting, keep going. Otherwise you waste, you know, a huge amount of your budget.
Yeah, you like overtimes can like kill you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, especially overtime. Have you found it hard to break into the industry here in LA?
Oh, it was a little complicated, like not even a little, I think. Yeah. But I was starting in Miami, so, and it wasn't the right place to start. Actually, mm-hmm. the industry in Miami is really like small and slow.
Yeah.
So as for me,
right.
I don't know, like I was able to become a part of a couple of music videos, but they was like small, low budget with mm-hmm. like small team. I really enjoyed this like work. It's remind me like my beginning of the career,
yeah.
you know, when everyone doing everything. Yeah, but I was happy to meet a couple of like really cool guys on the set. And and I decided probably I should like change the place where I'm staying.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't able just to buy a ticket and fly to Miami or from Miami to LA.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to looking for a project somewhere here, like on this coast.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found the project, it was a commercial, mm-hmm. but not so big, but still commercial. Yeah, they invite me like first AD on the set.
Yeah.
So I decided like, yeah,
this is a good opportunity.
This is a good opportunity. Yeah, I should like just get the tickets and go to LA and see how it will work out.
So it sounded like once you booked the project, you were able to use the funds from the project to fly out, or was it?
Yeah, like actually, like I still have some of my money,
mm-hmm.
but I was trying like to keep my expenses as low as it can be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I found the project, I bought a ticket from Miami to LA direct ticket for $110.
Holy cow.
Yeah. It was super cheap. And I was like so lucky that I get this like cheap tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And when I like landed in LA and tried to book a taxi mm-hmm. because it was like super early morning or
right.
like late night, I didn't remember. To my friend's place, the taxi cost like $90. And I was
oh,
like,
no,
what,
that's
really?
LA.
I just fly by sky, in the sky, you know, by mm-hmm. plane. They feed me. It costs like $100. And this is a cab for half hour driving for $90. It's crazy. It's insane.
You're like, give me a break, please. I'm trying to make it.
Yeah. So, yeah, but now I'm here and like, Things seem like things are going like better, you know?
Yeah, I know it's interesting how you said when you first came to Miami that you felt like starting from scratch again, almost working from the ground up on low budget things to try to get your name out there. But it makes sense for you to move directly to LA just because your body of work is so high level and so, I mean, you've already proven yourself. You can just show people, like, look at this video that encompasses everything I've made.
Yes and not.
Right.
You know, like, the main thing was working, like, with high budget stuff, it's people trust you and people know you. Because when they give you, like, I don't know, $100,000 or, like, I don't know, like, the high budgets, they want to be sure that you don't mess with this.
Right.
You know? And, like, showreel, portfolio, everything, like, helps me a lot. Yeah, I can, like, showcase it, yeah? But on other hand, people want to be sure that it's, like, that I really can do the job.
Right.
Yeah, and, like, it was complicated for me in the beginning. And, like, mostly all people like, okay, you got a lot of awards. Okay, good. You have a lot of like A-level commercials for like big brands. Okay, you have like a lot of music videos, like, and all of them got more than a million of views. Like, you're cool. But what about clients from United States? Everyone asking me, what about clients from United States? And I was lucky that I had a project like a couple of years ago for a company from United States, Arcade. The name of the company. They're making really awesome controllers to play with on mobile games or PC games.
Yeah.
And we was making this commercial back home in Ukraine. We built it like a couple of decorations for them, like cast a lot of guys and like done really great job. Yeah, so it helps me a lot because I was able to show like, okay, guys, this is like company from United States. Like I had a client from United States. This is like, not, and the project was really strong and nice. Actually, maybe you know the guy PewDiePie.
The YouTuber.
So this YouTuber was part of our commercial.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
So did you direct that?
No, I was executive producer.
Holy cow! So even better.
Yeah.
So you were an executive producer in a commercial that utilized PewDiePie.
Yeah.
I mean, even that, I think in the United States, if you work with people that know social media, that already is like leagues above anything I've ever done, anything most people have ever done too. And I think it's so amazing that you brought up the point of first, like almost 2 points of trust. Like you have a good body of work, but then US based, because even when I was doing my research on you, you've worked with Toyota, Lexus, Lamborghini, Subaru, but all in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Even though you would think that a car commercial could be almost international, there's still that second layer of trust where.
Yeah. Also, I work with huge banks. I work with a lot of like IT companies. I work with I don't know, gambling, like bets on sport and
like crypto
stuff. Yeah, actually, like there was a bunch of different projects, and it's even so fun because like on my Vimeo there are like almost 70 projects, I think. And it's like not even half.
Really?
What I had, yeah. Because like some projects are not up to date, you know, some projects I have NDA so I can showcase them, but I can show them in person. And it's really fun because like when someone asking you or you like receiving a brief with some task, probably you already done something or something similar or
they
something
can show.
The same. Yeah, and you know, like, something about this, how it can make it happen.
And for those who don't know, an NDA is a non-disclosure agreement,
yeah,
which means that when you work on something, you're not allowed to disclose that you were a part of it, or that you made it in any way. It's some contracts with certain clients dictate that. That's so cool. I mean, your Vimeo, like you said, showcases so many different types of work, but then doesn't even encompass most of it.
Yeah, and like, and it's good and it's also bad because in the United States, everyone get used to like, I'm focused on shooting like something one, like, like cooking or whatever, like cars or like pretty girls.
Yeah.
And I understand that I can do mostly all of this, but with the different teams, you know, because like I never shoot alone. It's always teamwork.
Yeah.
And the good team, it's a core. And if you can like find the proper guys into your team who specialized in stuff that you need to be done, you always can produce it easily or direct it easily.
Yeah, because they already know what to do and you just have to kind of gather them together and put them on the same vision.
Yeah.
I was going to say, what actions have you been trying to take to get more director roles here?
Oh, it's still a little bit complicated for me, you know, because like I'm here for from May in Lay. Now it's like January, so I'm here for
what's that? Seven, eight months.
Something around. Yeah, and I was happy to become a part of like more than 20 projects over here, but only one from those I directed. So I directed a music video for Alina Pash. She's like famous singer from Ukraine, and she knows me for
a
long time. yeah, we're friends for maybe 10 years. So she was in LA, I was in LA, and she's like, probably we should do something together. And I'm like, okay. Like, yeah, now it's on a post-production stage. We already finished an edit. We're like doing color grades, some
VFX
cleanup. Yeah. And it would be like super classy LA music video.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's what I tried to do because like I'm in LA. I want to use this like
background,
you know?
The palm trees and everything.
Yeah.
Have you been trying to source teams of people here? Or have you been reaching out to try to find like assistant directors or other executive producers or cinematographers, DPs?
Yeah. Actually, like I'm trying to improve my network, to build the trust, to get known by people, to get know people. And actually, that's why I decided like, not to be focused on directing and try to be on a set as much as I can. So I don't have like, you know, this kind of star illness, like I'm a director. I'm like, know what I'm doing. I am like big team player, you know, so and I'm like happy to help people, you know, to make this stuff, their stuff like better if I could, if I can make it better, you know. So I decided like to try to took every position that I could find. So mostly like all my project was on AD position. I worked like production manager a lot here. I work even a couple times like PA. I've been in art department. I've been in G&E department already. And it's super fun for me because like I've done a bunch of like huge projects, like EP or like director, you know?
Yeah.
And I, like, for example, I know how all light gear looks like, how it names, how much it costs to buy if you break it, how much it costs like to rent. But I never like build anything like by my hands. Probably like many years ago when I was like working with like small teams and where everyone doing everything.
So you're not rigging anything.
And like here I had an option, like opportunity, you know, to do it by my hands. And I think it will improve my skill of directing and like producing also, because when you can do it by yourself, no one can mess with you. You know how it should work.
I mean, really quick for the people that might be listening in for maybe business or entrepreneurial topics, for the departments that you've worked in, can you give a really quick brief description on what those departments mean? Like PA being like a production assistant?
Yeah. PA is production assistant. So you're like mostly doing everything that producer told you. It's like helper, you know?
Yeah, like a grab coffee, you know, get
like,
some.
Yeah, but like, or move something, or bring something, or I don't know, like whatever it should be.
Yeah.
And it was super fun because I was teaching students back home in Ukraine, and a couple of my like favorite students becomes my PAs, you know? So I teach them how to be the great PAs. And it was super cool, like to implement it by myself over here. And we're like, oh, this guy is PA, but he's like, I don't know, bringing water to everyone on the set because everyone in a rush and no one's think about it.
Right.
And it's like common stuff for me because like I'm worried about my team. I worry about people who are hard working with me on a set and I wanted to do their like life comfortable. So, but with all my experience, I can be the best PA in their life, but it's, but on the other hand, I'm not allowed to anyone to type my name like Max Balter PA because it's not me. Like I'm Max Balter director, Max Balter Ukraine, Max Balter producer, whatever. Don't write me down like PA because it's not about me. So our department was also fun and interesting for me because you're doing like a lot of craft. You're like responsible for all art in a frame, you know, and I like you're looking in a monitor, you know, and you're paying attention only on background, on art, on what's happening like in a frame. It's super interesting because you need not to look on like acting on all the stuff like lights. You're just like focusing on art. It's like different part of job. Yeah, G&E, it's grips and electrics. It's like light department, and you're responsible for like lights on the set, for like everything. Yeah, and it's also was interesting for me, and I realized how hard is this job because I get used to like work with team at least with five G&E guys, like Gaffer, K Grip, like chief electrical, and like G&E guys. Like at least like four or five. On a huge project, it can be like 8, 10 person. And I was like producer, I was always was trying to like cut the numbers, you know? Right. Like let's like kick a couple of guys from your team. And when Gaffer like, but I need them, like it's so hard like to build this like kind of like huge set with low number of people.
Right.
Yeah, now I realized why, because this stuff is heavy.
Yeah, no, it's so heavy.
Yeah, and when you like have a low number of people, they're just getting really tired, you know?
Especially on a 12-hour day, 14-hour day. Like, I didn't realize that.
In Ukraine, overtimes are really cheap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, like, I think everyone is trying to shoot in, like, 1, 2, 3 days. So, like, try to keep number of shooting days as low as it can be. So, and we don't have any, like, restrictions about maximum hours, working hours. Mm. So, like, I know the guys who was shooting like for 30 hours.
Oh my God.
I think it's like crazy and insane.
That is so crazy.
Yeah, but like I think longest shoot in my life, I was AD there. And I was good AD. It was just big complicated project. It was 26 hours.
Holy
cow.
It was
like...
Do you sleep on set?
No, it's like it just in 26 hours in a row. We were sleeping on the way back.
Yeah, holy cow.
Yeah, it's crazy. And like regular, it's like 14, 16 hours a day. It's like it's normal stuff. So you're getting used to it.
I think...
And it was really fun for me, like when the local teams from United States, like after 12 hours, like, oh, we're so tired. We want to go home. We need to drive home. And you're like, guys, I'm just warmed up.
Right. You're like, we still got 22 hours left. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but I think it's a good point to shoot like 12 hours because you can be focused, you know, and because after... It's complicated job. You need like to be focused, to be concentrated, and after like 16 hours, you're not able to do your
like function
work, like as good as you can do it when you rested.
Yeah.
Know? So, but sometimes you know it happens with me. I think the longest shoot that I have had here in United States was like 14 hours.
So
and I really appreciate this. I get getting used to it.
You're like, that's half what I'm used to. That's easy. You know, that's no problem. I think one thing I'm trying to learn from and educate more people, especially clients on, is when they send me a reference, like, oh, I want this type of video. I'm trying to learn more so I can be like, okay, this type of video, what you're asking for, probably took a team of 20 people, a combined like 30, 40 hours each to make this 30-second spot.
Yep.
Like one thing I learned recently as I'm working on bigger sets is with grip and electric, when you start to bring in larger size lights, you need to bring in generators to power those lights, because
everything takes time.
Yeah, exactly. You know? To move in, because maybe the voltage of the warehouse you're in doesn't have enough electricity to power the lights. And so it just exponentially grows more and more.
Where is my phone? I was giving examples to my students. Like when you got a team of 50 person, for example, who are working for 12 hours, like everyone on a set, we didn't count on prep and post.
Yeah, just
because on prep, there was team who worked like to prepare everything.
Right.
On post, there would be a team who are like edit, color grading, making like VFX, all this stuff. So 50 persons who are working for 12 hours is 600 hours.
Dear
and so
God.
And for it can be like commercial.
Right.
So to shoot 30 seconds, it takes 600 hours. 600 hours. It's like 15 work days for one people.
Right. Yeah, so, if one person try to do it by themselves.
Yeah. So that's why you're paying for all this, like, entire crew. That's why you're hiring all them. Because when you're doing it by yourself, you just literally need 15 days.
Yeah.
And you're not such a good professional in all this, like, fields, you know?
Yeah.
That's why you're hiring great professionals, like, to do all this stuff.
That because, are very experts in their fields. Like, they know exactly what to do, how to do it right.
The team is the core. The team is the core of success. So you should be, you should know, like a director or like a producer, like, everything about, like, you know, not everything. You should know a lot of every field, in the field of film industry, to be able to give the tasks to people, to be able to control what they're working, to be able, like, to find out when they're, like, trying to bullshitting.
Right.
Yeah, because, like, sometimes, or especially on post-production stage, you know, when, like, some guy telling, like, oh, man, it's impossible, or it's, like, costs a lot, we're like out of budget, I could just send him a tutorial, like, man.
Yeah, exactly, like, to just mask it out, or like put a 3D layer, track it, or all sorts
and
of stuff.
When you're like, know a lot of shooting about shooting, know a lot of about post, sometimes you can figure out what it would be cheaper for you, just like to spend extra 5 or 10 minutes on the set, or to spend like extra hour on a post with clean upping something.
Yeah.
So if you know all this, you can use all this.
It's crazy because in high school, which since I'm young was not that long ago, like 5 years ago, I did a lot of acting. It's helped me become a better director because I know what an actor needs to get a better performance, what they're looking for, what kind of motivation they're asking for. And also because I've edited so many different types of projects, when I'm a DP, you know, and we're trying to capture the perfect shot, or maybe something in the background's not exactly where we want it and we can't get it out of the shot, instead of spending an extra 30 minutes on set trying to remove it or clean it up, I can be like, oh, since I know how to mask these things out or edit it this way, I can take 10, 20 minutes, you know, on the computer and, like, fix it.
If you're a director, the main task for you is tell a story. This is it. So sometimes the beauty is not the key point, you know. If you're tight in schedule, you should understand if what you can go fast, what shots you can go fast, and what shots are really main and important, and you should show them, like, make them as perfect as you can. Because sometimes I saw on the sets when the guy is like losing, I don't know, hours to build up a shot, really beautiful shot, to make it like really perfect, and then it like half of second in edit or like second, and no one can like ever like figure out what the purpose of it was.
Really quick, guys, if you're still here, thank you so much for continuing to support the podcast. Just so you know, this isn't monetized, so I'm not making any money off of this, and I also have nothing to sell you. The only thing I could ask is that you rate, review, and share this podcast if you found it valuable. That's all I have. Now, back to the interview. One question I had for you was, how did working in Ukraine and that film industry over there differ from being in LA?
Oh... I like LA. It's nice place to work, but like I think I need like more time to build a network over here. So it's like my main task for now. And actually, like I got this feeling that like my Ukrainian language is like way more better than my English language.
But you're great at English. I mean, I'm talking to you right now.
Yeah, but like it's my third language, you know? So, and sometimes when you're on the set and you're forgetting some basic words, like, and you're like, my radio is breaking down. Or you just try to like use a Google Translate as fast as you can. Mm-hmm. And sad. It's a hardworking place, but it also about vibe, you know? You need to like create like this kind of working vibe on a set.
Oh, like an environment, yeah, when, like how it feels.
Yeah, when everyone like having fun, enjoying their work, but still they're like have this productivity, you know? Mm-hmm. And with sometimes it's like complicated for me in English because like it's not my first language, but I'm getting used to it.
Yeah, you said when you want to cultivate an environment that's conducive to success, that I think that's what I think of when I think of the word vibe. How do you go about creating that environment? Because you're right, like when people are happy and energized, it synergizes in a way that makes everyone happy to be there and want to work harder towards that vision. How do you go about creating that environment?
I think I'm never scream.
That's good.
I saw a bunch of like ADs who are like screaming and like wasting time of the team to like arguing to, I don't know, like, come on, move faster. Mm. But if everyone is busy, if everyone like doing their stuff and like, and you just like, I don't know, I forget the word, you see?
Well, yeah,
sometimes it happens. And you just like, I don't know, breaking in their job and like and telling that they should like work faster, but they already work like
as hard as they can.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes like more time and it's making people upset. So you should know what you should have like great control of the set, you know, to understand what's happening and how much time it takes. Do some stuff.
It goes back to an earlier point about knowing at least a little bit about every department, because in order to lead every department towards a common goal, you need to have at least a rough estimate of, okay, it might take like an hour and a half to rig the camera, you know, or art might take maybe an hour to do makeup. But if you don't have any sense of that at all, of course there's going to be, you know, fighting when you think you can do this in 15 minutes, but they said it takes 2 hours.
And then everyone is cheating you always on a set. Like, you can go to, like, I don't know, makeup department and ask how long, like, how many time do you need? And they will always tell you, like, 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And it can be, like, 15. Mm-hmm. But, like, 10 times, they are, like, like, 10 minutes more, it's all, like, plus 1.5 hour.
Right.
And plus 1.5 hour for all your entire team can be expensive,
right?
You know, so you should like, you should be really good in planning to and be able to control a lot of processes in parallel, you know. Mm-hmm. So when like making someone making makeup, someone like building like decoration, someone mm-hmm. like building up a set, but you should place the camera first, you know.
Right, yeah, camera first and then everything else after.
Yeah, because like I saw sometimes when like guys like, I don't know, building a set, then setting camera, and then rebuilding a set because it didn't work out for them. And it's like, okay, but
because it's like you built the set and the camera's not even facing that direction.
Yeah.
And then you have to just spend another 2 hours fixing that mistake. I was gonna ask when you, because we went over, I think, the overtime aspect of working in Ukraine versus LA, which is wild to me. I was going to ask, are there any cultural differences between working in Ukrainian with mainly Ukrainian people, I assume, and then LA versus people all over the world?
No. Oh, it's a complicated question. Hard to compare for now for me. Mm-hmm. But I think I get a feeling that in Ukraine, like, because the industry is not such big, the competition for, like, to be in A-level teams, it's super high. So everyone work harder, or they can be replaced by someone else.
Because there's less opportunities.
Yeah. So, and if you're, like, getting to, like, A-level team, you're trying to work as hard as you can. So, and, like, I never heard about, like, I'm tired of what we're doing. Like, because, like, you get this job, they pay you overtimes. So, please, do your job. This is it. And here, like, I saw the guys who are like, oh, probably I should just leave. And you're like, what?
Like, you're like, oh no, don't do that.
But, you know, like, I had, like, 200 projects back home in Ukraine, yeah? And I had, like, not such big amount here in the United States. And I bet I will find, like, my team who will have the same vibe with me, you know?
Yeah. It sounds like almost, like, if we're talking about academics, you were working at a college level, university level in Ukraine, and when you came to the States, everyone was kind of working at, like, a high school level, in a sense of, like, you're so used to going above and beyond.
Yeah. That but, became like, here. Sometimes, you know, like, I need more experience here because it's, right. like, also, like, some cultural differences, like, some stuff that I don't know. You know, like, it was really surprising for me about, like, meet penalties, that if you didn't feed your team, like, in 6 hours after the shoot starts, you're getting, like, meet penalties every, like, 15 minutes. Wow, it's like...
Yeah, there's a lot of very specific rules that I'm learning more about, too, as I work on the sets.
Yeah, also, there are, like, a bunch of stuff with SAG actors that you should know. And
By SAG, it's the union for actors called SAG-AFTRA.
Yeah. And you should, like, figure out all this stuff. That's why I decided that it's okay to work in, like, on different positions in different departments just to figure out all this stuff. Actually, like, I was lucky to become a part of a big cooking show for QVC channel. And they invited me, like, production manager. And I need to manage all these permissions for shootings. Yeah. And I never done it before.
Like, permits specifically?
For shooting, in United States. Because in Ukraine, it works, like, way more easier. You get your location guy, like, location manager, and just tell him, like, manage this.
Yeah.
And this is it. And here you should, like, apply for permission. You should, like... tell them where you're, like, base camp, where you parked all your crew cars. Like, no one paying attention on it in Ukraine. No one cares.
That's so funny.
Because industry here is such a big, and, like, amounts of shootings is
much
so
higher.
High. Yeah. So even we had a situation when we was shooting a feature film, and some commercial was shooting, like, just nearby. So we got a schedule when we can go outside and when there, like, shooting
outside.
Oh, yeah. And where we can park, where they can park, to be able to do it, like, together, you know?
Kind of share the space.
Yeah.
I think going back to a previous point of how there's so many productions here and you're trying to break into, I guess, the sphere in L.A., it's interesting because I've been on sets where, like, I'm a PA, which is almost, in an office sense, like, a glorified intern. But other PAs could also be directors on other projects or gaffers or grips on other sets. But there's this lack of ego where you're just trying to get the work done. You're good at a job, or you're trying to pick up work. And so I guess a question for you is, when you're first moving here, what's some advice you could give to people that are trying to break into the industry?
Interesting. Try as hard as you can to have job. Any kind of job is better than don't have it at all.
Yeah,
you know. And You know, this like personal connection when you already been on a set, like why I decide to try different positions here, because like for very first I need money.
need to survive.
LA is expensive city.
It is.
Yeah. For second, I need team. Mm-hmm. So when you're like was on 20 different sets, you saw 20 different DOPs, you saw 20 different gaffers, you saw 20 different, like, I don't know, set designers.
Yeah.
And not all from them are good ones.
Yeah, that's true.
It's true. It's my, and you need to know the people, you know, who can do the stuff on your level. If you have like your level.
Yeah. If you're good.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it helps me a lot because like now I know I have like big numbers of team, different like positions. I know to whom I will call if someone tell me like, come on, let's do this big crazy stuff. Because even if you're like getting the project, but you don't know how to do it, you will be in a hard situation.
Oh, yeah, unless you know someone that can help you.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, because the advice I've heard is when you're a PA on set, you know, you don't ask to network with the director in the middle of the shoot. So for you, when you're on these sets and meeting different types of people, how do you go about getting their contact information or meeting them?
I'm trying to like take their Instagrams or take their contacts, and I will follow up them next day and say, hey, thank you for the shooting, but like check some my stuff,
yeah,
or I can check your stuff, or like make some research about them and tell them like, oh, I saw your project, like this and it seems like nice for me, like I like especially like this shot, and after this people like understand that you're like in material, you're spend the time to like check out what they're done, and you're not just like the guy, hey, give me another project, you're like into material. And then I think it's really important actually, like I always paying attention when someone like writing me like and specifying some kind of project that, of mine that they saw and that they like, it feels like, okay, this guy like spent the time, he made his homework, so we can like speak like, about something.
It's like respecting each other's time.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than like a mass email saying, oh, yeah, like, great video.
Great video, what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And you're like, oh, like, right. It's so easy nowadays to find like any kind of information about like everyone.
I was gonna, I had a question, but I blanked on it. But I guess going in a separate direction then, when I was looking you up, you got a bachelor's degree in law and then your master's in business administration and management.
Yeah.
So how'd you go about from studying law and management to film production?
It was a long and complicated journey. You know, I tried a bunch of different works in my life, like, and I, even my mother was making jokes that I will, like, can be focused on something, like, more than, like, 3 months. And it was maybe because of my temperament, you know, or maybe because I didn't saw any perspectives in this. I even had a list of the works where I was working from beginning, you know, and it more than like 30 different places. Yeah. So
like actual jobs,
jobs. Holy cow. Like businesses, jobs, like startups, ideas, like whatever. And when I found like video industry, I realized that like it's same every time, but completely different every time. Especially if you're working in a field of commercials or music videos, you're like, if you're working like on some kind of TV show and you're doing like your job, it's one type of job every day, you can get bored. But if you're like working in a field of music videos or like, you know, commercials, especially when you're directing or you're like producing, mm-hmm. you have a bunch of different and unique tasks, you know, like I had a project like back home in Ukraine when I was shooting like social commercial, and the creative concept includes yak. Mm-hmm. Yak is like bison, but oh, yak is like, bison, yeah. Yeah, it's like a cow with hair.
With the horns too.
Yeah. And we was looking like for them in every zoo and like, I don't know, in private collections, right. Like wherever, whenever we can find them. And there was like the moment when I realized that I'm like casting yaks and they still paying me for this job. Casting yaks, you know? I'm just checking like photos of yaks, like, this looks good. This looks like not so good. Like, can we like make something with his hair? And he's like a huge cow. Like, yeah. it can be aggressive.
Do you have like budgets for like a certain yak? Was like, oh, this yak is $600.
Yeah, we had a budget for this. But then I realized that it's like way more easier for me to just buy the footage and make some like compositing into it,
yeah.
You know, and then I found the proper footage just like on some kind of stocks, yeah, because I can resolve one task with a different like approaches, you know,
yeah.
Because I know all this material, how to do it. And it was like way more easier for us because we don't need to go somewhere like, I don't know, 500 miles to find this yak with all this team, you know, to find this shot. They're not actors for sure. It's their wild animals. So it's like pretty complicated to ask them to do what you need to be done.
Yeah. Working with animals and babies are two of the hardest things.
Yeah, I think about babies, my youngest actress was 4 months.
4 months?
4 months, yeah.
I don't even know. Well, actually, that's really young.
It was legal in Ukraine, yeah.
I know. Obviously, yeah.
Yeah, and we just need the like toddler or like having fun in I don't know. How to call?
Yeah, like holding the baby.
Not holding the baby. Like the place that shaking baby. You know?
Oh, okay. The cradle.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we, I don't want to like to put there like a 3-year girl. You know, I mean, it's a toddler.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
But it sounds like, I mean, most of the people I've talked to in this industry have had a similar experience where they've tried a whole lot of different things. They've done a lot of different jobs. Like, for example, I was an athlete for a little while and then became like a choir singer and an actor and a dancer and a singer and all these things. And then I became pre-med in university. I was a neuroscience major for a year and a half. And then I finally switched to going back to what I always wanted to do, which was video production. But I didn't know at the time because I hadn't gone through that journey of doing everything else.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like you've gone through a similar journey.
It's all about experience. Yeah. So I think like everything that you have in your life, it's like knowledge and experience. So and if you have a lot of knowledges, but you don't have any experience, it's like, I don't know, like...
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Let me give you... Oh, I can give you a great example. About running, you know, the guys from Kenya, they run super fast, like super fast. But if you never run and you like read everything about running, you can do it because you don't have this kind of muscles. You don't have this like...
You just can't.
Literally, yeah, you just can't. You will know how to run,
right.
But you can do it as cool as the guy who running for all his life.
Right. You could even know how to run better than him.
Yeah.
But since you haven't done it yourself...
Yeah.
Your muscles can't work the way that the actual runner is.
And yeah.
I think in the film industry too, you need to have experiences in other other industries if you want to make and tell stories in general. Going back to the running experience, like let's say you're doing a documentary on a runner, it's going to be exponentially easier if you have experience running.
Yeah, it's all about research.
Yeah.
Like, every time when I'm writing like director's treatments, I'm making like big research.
Yeah.
I remember like I was writing the treatment about hockey for Hockey Federation of Ukraine, and I watched like 5 movies about hockey, so I know like the best angles that like I liked. Yeah, the how it work out, you know, because like you can imagine how you want to do it, but you need to know it. But you need to know it like
yeah, in real. How other people have done it. And yeah. Kind of elaborate on that or use it as a reference.
Yeah, use it like a reference. Probably find some making ofs backstage. You know, not to invent the bicycle if it's already invented.
Right. Exactly. I was gonna ask because when you graduated with your master's afterwards, you started your own production company, and that lasted about 5 years before you did other things.
Yeah.
Within those 5 years, you've worked with the Ukrainian branches of brands such as Lamborghini, Subaru, Toyota, Lexus, all sorts of things like that. So how did you go from starting from zero to landing those big clients?
It was an interesting stage of my life. Actually, I started to work in this industry without experience, like totally. Like I found a guy director, he had like a team, and I was like, okay, like I can try to sell our services.
Right.
And I found the first project like in a couple of weeks. It was super small commercial, but I was so excited to do it.
Yeah, because it was this guy that helped you sell the project, right? And then you did the work?
Or? No. I was producer, and he was like director. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I found the project, and he just directed, and I was just frustrated. What's going on over yeah. here? But in a couple of months, we was like keep working on different kinds of projects, and I realized that like I'm studying a lot. And I'm starting something, I'm really passionate about this, and I like trying to do like better and better and better, you know. And the main concept of our production was like underestimate and or deliver.
Right.
So you're like taking the project for $5,000, you're earning like nothing, or you're earning, I don't know, like $500,
right? Like barely anything.
Yeah, and you're putting everything in like production, so you're getting results that looks like way more better than 5,000. And you're like, for next client, you're telling that it already costs like 10,000, you know, because you have stuff in your portfolio to showcase it. And step by step, and also like, you know, when you're getting great recommendations from your clients, when they're like happy to work, when you're doing like great client service, it helps you to move fast, you know, because not a lot of clients paying attention on a final result. Yeah, a lot of clients paying attention on a process and on service that they are receiving, you know,
right.
Because especially in commercials. So yeah, you should be a professional. You should do it like as cool as you can, as much good as you can, you know. But you're like never arguing with the client about like some kind of shots. You're trying to explain them what they will receive in the end. You're trying to show them what they want to see, you know. Even like it's so easy for me to imagine what it being a result, you know.
Right.
And sometimes client ask you to do some stupid things.
Yeah, like, I was really gonna ask. Yeah.
And you need to know how explain them without arguing. Yeah. And I think like teaching students helps me a lot, because I have all these knowledges, and I can tell them like, if we will do like this, it will be like this.
Right.
Know? So it's obvious. And but still, if client wants to do it and he's paying your money, why not show him?
Right, exactly.
And like, see, That's how I tell.
And that builds trust.
Yeah, this builds trust. And like, and on second time, they, if you tell them that no, it's going to be bad, they just will believe you because you already showed them.
Yeah, you already showed them what your idea was versus their idea.
Yeah.
You delivered on their idea.
But still, you know, the very important question for me always, for whom we are shooting. So we're like,
the audience.
Yeah, we're shooting for audience. So the main idea is like to catch the attention of audience, to make the product look and work great, you know,
yeah.
To give the better numbers, you know, of views, of, I don't know, conversion, of, I don't know, whatever.
And I love that perspective because, I mean, my degree is in marketing, but my passion is in video production. And so it's like the melding of those two. I meet a lot of people that can only see things from one way. And it's hard for, like, sometimes a director might focus too much on the storytelling and less on the product, which makes sense for certain things. But if the client doesn't like it, arguing with the client about that topic doesn't do any good, especially if they don't know the audience or doesn't convert well, all sorts of things that goes into the production. And I was going to ask you because when doing these bigger projects on less of a budget to show prospective clients what good work can be, I did a system, or I learned a system called like free to fee, where I do projects for free, especially when I was first starting, because it was helping me build my portfolio because I had none.
Mm-hmm.
But for when you were doing that, how did you, I guess, survive when you were not making that much money? Were you working a part-time job?
I was young. I was living with my parents, so I was able to do this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're starting to earn, you know. There are like principle of Pareto, you know, when 80% of your work giving you like 20% of your money, and other 20% of your work giving you like 80% of your money that you're earning.
Right.
So, and also there are like the words like one for meal, one for real.
Yeah, exactly.
So sometimes I'm asking myself every time, why am I doing this project? Why am I like taking this project? Okay, I want to earn money. I want to like do something cool. I want to just hang out with my friends from like shooting team. Why am I doing this?
Right.
Yeah, and if you have clear answer on this, it will help you a lot just to do right things, you know?
Would you say that would help you, or that helps you stay motivated in the morning, like knowing why you're doing this?
Yeah, you should like be focused, you know?
Yeah.
You should like answer, because like when you're taking the project and you don't like it and you don't earn any money on it and you never put it on portfolio, you're just wasting your time. So that's why, like, even now, like when someone proposing me like to do something and the budget is not enough, for example, music video, if I didn't like the music, I never will like do it, because it's disaster.
Yeah, it just
it's really painful.
Yeah, that's the best word for it.
So, but if they're like paying you like really good fee, director's fee, you can like, okay, I need money, I can do it, like,
yeah,
you know. But they should pay you like more.
Right, exactly.
Because you don't. But on other hand, if like some of my friends will come to me with like a really great song, I know this like artist and he is like cool, talented guy, and his budget is like tight, I can invest my time. I even can invest my money if I have them.
It's almost like a triangle where it's like
because you can make like the stuff that you want to make. You can like try some art. You can try to do some, I don't know, crazy shots that you always dream to do,
mm-hmm.
and you can like you improve your skill and still you can have a great time, because I think mostly all people who are working in this industry are really love it. So for me, it's like my best hobby, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
and I'm still getting paid for it.
It's like the dream.
Yeah. So that's why I think mostly all of filmmakers work in this industry.
Because it's not a It's actually a very hard industry. Like you said, working 30 hours, not sleeping. Even here in the US, maybe, I mean, comparatively, like working 12 hours is not a lot. But that's still a lot, I think, to most people working 8 hours a day. I think the comparison between that, if you're working 8 hours a day and you're watching this is the difference between liking movies as like a consumer versus creating the actual content. There's a huge discrepancy on what it's like to be in the industry versus to be a viewer and just like movies. I have a question for you. So what's your most favorite project you've worked on? So like in your entire life?
It's such a complicated broad question because like it depends of the industry, you know, like not in industry, like no,
Maybe
depends
what's
of.
the project you've been the most proud of? Maybe that's harder.
It's like it depends of from what criterias are you judging, you know? Because if it's commercial, probably it's like the highest budget, you know? Because like the main point in commercial, you should do the big numbers, and it seems like it would be cool, yeah. I think in commercials, let's pick Arcade Blasters.
Okay, that sounds good.
Because it was fun. It was really cool and fun, and I like it so much.
What was fun about it? The people, the
The
shoot?
people that shoot the concept, actually, like we had a really interesting situation over there. Like we built a decoration and then came to with DOP to check it out, and he like, guys, I can't build a master plan over here. I need, I don't know, roof or decoration, like ceiling, or I need like higher walls. And the shooting is like in 2 or 3 days.
Oh,
And
God.
our like set designer to like, okay, I'll make you like higher walls. He built higher walls, but we didn't th thought that we have a shot where the guy from Special Forces falling through ceiling.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that shot, yeah.
And it was like 4 meters, four and a half
For him
meters.
to fall down.
Yeah, to fall down. It was really high, really high, really, really high. And it looks really dangerous. So with Louis thought about it and decided to get a stuntman because like our actor told like I can make it, like if it's like 3 meters I can jump
He
it,
could
like
just
if
jump it, he could
yeah I
just
will
fall.
jump it like on a mates it's gonna be okay, but it was like it looks really dangerous. So we found a guy, he is really great stuntman. Actually he arrived to United States like a couple months ago also.
Oh,
He's like
cool.
looking for a project, like stunt guy here. He was jumping, and we made a deal because we was really tight in budget. Even in high budget, we was tight, and we make a deal that he will like make a 3 jumps or something around like 3 jumps
And
for
that's
like,
it.
and that's it. Yeah, because it's like we can't make any safety leashes for him, so it was like just jump on a mates. And also there was like parts of ceiling of
The
some
falling
like
down.
props that falling down with him, so it looks like he just break the ceiling, you know.
And describe shot. He's in like he's falling into a living room full of people, right?
And like from very first time he like landed okay safety. On the second time he hurt his leg
Oh,
and he
no.
was like but we make a deal for 3 jumps. I'll make it. We're like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, okay, I'll be fine. He jumped once again and we're like, yeah, okay, cool. And he like, probably need one more. And we're like, really, you can do it one more? He like, yeah, like I know how to fly even better now. We're like, okay. And then like, and he fell down. The shot was really cool, but he hurt his leg like
Bad.
bad. Yeah.
Oh.
And like probably need one more. And like, no, just stop, just go home. Here's your money, here's a bonus for you, like stop doing this. Like it's like, okay, but let me know if you need something else.
Which take did you end up using?
Oh, I didn't remember.
Okay, because it would have been funny if you used the first take.
Yeah, and it was super fun because like I have this like even video on my phone when he is like falling down and we're like and he's like, are you okay? He's like, okay, thank you that you're alive.
That's so yeah, high.
It was fun. So it's speaking about commercials. I think Arcade Blast was a really cool one. Yeah. Speaking about music videos, it's complicated. I think the most viewed video that I have for now, it's Пошлая Молли and Катерина Кищук, Мишка.
I'll be honest, yeah, I do not know who that is.
Speaking without subtitles.
Yeah, yeah.
I can show, this is a link. How it works.
Yeah, like we can do that.
Yeah, and it have like maybe 23 million of views for that's now. Wild. Yeah. It was a cool and fun project. Yeah, we enjoyed it very much.
Do you have any upcoming ones you're excited to share?
Yeah, I have like upcoming project, like music video that I directed here. And I think it would be ready in like a couple of weeks, probably.
Are you allowed to disclose who the artist is?
What?
Are you allowed to say who the artist is?
Yeah, it's Alina Pash.
Oh, it's the same one?
Okay. It's Ukrainian artist. Yeah. Speaking about like this music video for Пошлая Молли, it was really nice concept, and I was like producing it, and my really good friend Nikita Kvasnikov directed it. Yeah, and it was like super fun because we mixed like Alexa mini shots with some kind of handy cam, like super bad, and and made a lot of like animation and all this stuff. Yeah, and it's like super stylish, you know. And the most complicated task, we wanna do shots like we are filming through, oh, I don't know this word in English, like in a door. Mm-hmm. They're like,
oh, the peephole.
Yeah, so
it's a funny word.
So we was like, we have a shots like we're filming through peephole.
Yeah.
And we made a bunch of tests with different optics, with different lenses, like stuff to make it looks really great. So, and the idea that of the their like shots is in a hotel room. Mm. And we wasn't able to find the proper hotel in Ukraine. This will like fit to our budget, because mostly all of like A-level hotels, like I don't know, Marriott, Radisson, they letting film companies to film inside only if you're like renting all entire floor. Oh. not to bother like other guests. Yeah. You know, so we just build a room in the studio. Yeah,
that makes sense. I mean, of course, yeah,
it was like three times cheaper, you know.
Oh, really?
Just then rent all entire floor of like a big hotel. Yeah, and it was fun. It was cool, and like I like this music video very much. The vibe was really good, and also like there was a scene with Limo. When limo arrives and like artists getting out from this limo, and I found like nice limo, but I didn't like the wheels of limo.
Oh, it's just not what you're looking for.
Yeah, so we found like different wheels, then trying to set them up on this car, they didn't fit. So we go like change tires on these wheels, and we fit it, and it was like hard, you know. It takes like two days.
Did you get different wheels for it?
Different wheels, like
the rims, like the
rims. Yeah, probably rims.
Yeah, yeah.
We want a cooler rims.
Oh,
you know?
Okay, like, yeah.
There was in base, and, so we like set up this like rims wheels, you know, and actually they're a shot for 2 seconds. When so, you can see it, like, but we spent 2 days, like,
on the one shot to get the real rims.
To get the stuff done. And you know, every time when I see this shot, I'm like, yes, we done it. Like, is this, there looks so good. No one will pay attention on it ever.
It's 2 seconds of the video. No one has no idea.
Yeah, you wouldn't look at the ribs of the car, but it was so important for me, like a producer, you know, it was so important for a director, and we're happy that we made it.
At that point, it's just, that's what matters. I mean, you're proud of it. Even if it's only 1 or 2 seconds in the final cut,
yeah,
it still elevates the whole video and the brand overall.
And you got this like feeling that you've done something
right. Really good. You're proud of it. And that makes walking home from a set feel worth it, especially pouring your heart, soul, time, energy into a project. If you're not proud of it at the end of the day, it almost feels like wasted time, unless it's for a different purpose, like you're starving and you need to eat something.
Yeah.
Where can people find you? Where are some good links?
Oh, Instagram, Maxim Balter, Max Balter, B-A-L-T-E-R.
Max, M-A-X, right?
What?
Max, just regular spelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, Google it.
Just Google it.
Like in Wikipedia.
Do you have a Wikipedia page?
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay. I don't know how I didn't know that.
Yeah. Actually, like now I'm trying to improve my IMDb because I never put my attention over there.
Yeah.
And I received a bunch of recommendations that I should like fill it up. So probably, I will fill it up. But it takes like forever to do it. Like,
I believe
it's,
that.
It's user experience of this website is like not for people. Yeah.
And then Vimeo links?
Like I have like all my portfolio on Vimeo, a lot of projects over there. So you can spend like a couple of hours to checking out all my stuff.
Just under your name, Max Balter?
Yeah.
Perfect.
It's
so
easy to find me.
And you're still looking for director roles, any type of work here in LA, correct?
Yeah. And I decided like now I have this experience of, to be on a set with guys from United States, you know? So I'm like focusing to find the director projects now. But still like I'm okay to work on like AD or PM position, but like my main focus is directing now.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And I think I will like find something interesting for me.
No, I believe you will. I mean, you've got the work, you got the experience, you got the right attitude and knowledge. I think just with time and meeting more people, you're going to...
Yeah, actually, like, I got a big advantage because, like, I can write director treatments and design them by myself.
Right.
So, and actually it takes, like, from 3 to 5 days for me to create, like, great director's treatment.
Yeah.
And I should just, like, find these opportunities to try to showcase my work, to, to show my... point of view. So for now, like I'm doing, I'm trying to find people so they like from production companies, so they will give me an opportunity to do some work to showcase my skills to get work.
Right.
So it's like 3 steps to get the work.
And like I mentioned before, like I found you via LinkedIn. I mean, you wrote to me initially, but then it wasn't until you posted about your story that I was really intrigued and wanted to talk to you. Because I get inquiries, not all the time, but a decent amount because I work at an agency that does video production and sorts of things like that. And so when I learned more about your backstory, I mean, that was just the tipping point where like, I need to talk to this guy.
Yeah, you know, like, on the other hand, like a lot of my friends from like United States, like telling that... everyone likes hear success stories, you know? And this was going on with me. Looks like a potential success story,
right.
You know? Because like I like arrived here with a backpack, with low amount of money. I'm just hardworking person. And I'm just like trying to settle up here.
Yeah.
You know? And I think... Yeah, like attitude, skills, and hard working will helps me, but it takes time because like when the one producer work with you, he knows that you're good and he can recommend you to other guys, you know, but when like 100 producers work with you and like I don't know, 90% of them think that you're like great professional, because someone can be just not your person, you know. It's not, and it's not because of you. Like it's you will keep you busy as much as they can. Also, like it takes time to figure out how it works here with like all representatives, agents. I don't know how to sign with production companies, or just be like freelance directors that they invite you to like know the producers that shoot the content that you want to shoot, because there are a lot of content that just not my style, you know.
Yeah.
And you want to do like your work professionally, so it takes time just like to settle up. And probably like looking back to I was speaking with my psychologist, therapist.
Maybe.
Yeah, and he told like, okay, man, you're comparing you with yourself back home in Ukraine. Yeah, it's like completely different levels and this is it. But compare you just arrived to United States to your like this day. You've done a bunch of stuff. Right. And this is it. And like, actually, like when I'm speaking with people and like telling that I like was able to become a part of like 20 projects, and I think from this 20 only one or two was like without fee, so for free. So all of them was paid like jobs.
Right.
Yeah. There was like, man, you're like doing really good. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. The numbers are really great, and I'm like, but it's not enough for me. Let's just give it.
Time. Give it time, yeah.
Yeah, give it time. Just keep doing what you're doing.
No, and that's amazing. Do you have anything else you want to say before we wrap it up? Maybe advice or any plugs?
I don't know. Follow me on Instagram.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Ping me up if you need to shoot something.
100%. Well, it's been great having on, Max. I mean, I can't even believe you agreed to come on. Just because of your calendar.
What else I will do in a Sunday morning?
I don't know.
actually, thank you for inviting me, because like I was invited to party yesterday, and they get like drunk, and I was like, oh no, I need to leave. I get an interview tomorrow, because like, and I woke up today and like without hangover and like. Yeah,
nice. I love the way of thinking. I appreciate it so much. Yeah, follow this guy on Instagram. Follow him on all his links. His work is amazing. I keep saying that it's so ironic that I'm doing an audio podcast for people in the video sphere, because I keep telling like, oh, it's amazing. This is what it looks like. But for people that are just listening, you can't see that, obviously. But thank you for being here. It's been great having you on. And this is the end of this episode.
Nice.